This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday. It's hump day already. We all just got back from New Year's Day, and now it's almost the weekend, and life is good.
I mean, not everything's good. The national debt is $34 trillion. That's not ideal. We'll talk about that tonight. Bunch of border talk tonight. I'm all hot and bothered on the border tonight. I don't know whether hot and bothered was an appropriate term I should use, but what, Chris? I think it was. I think I nailed that. Anyway, look, it's a European term, Chris. You wouldn't understand it. I'm still adjusting back to American culture. We have that. We have Biden gearing up for a speech. What kind of a speech? Well, it's about you and it's going to apply to you. We'll talk about that. Talk about more women stocking up on the abortion pill, travelers, Jeffrey Epstein's list that might get released, might never get released. I don't friggin' know. Emails, all that, and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to actually begin here on the border. And I want to do something. It's honestly, it's going to sound really basic and might even be stupid, but I'm stupid. So you're just going to have to deal with that. Let's talk about why it's important to secure your border as a country. Don't roll your eyes. Just stay with me. Just stay with me because a lot of this stuff can get lost. It really can. We see the headlines, you know. We see stories like this out of New York. This is from Fox.
The crisis up to this point has cost $3 billion. And as more people come, the cost continues to go up. The issue for New York is that they're not only dealing with newly arrived migrants, they're dealing with folks that have already been in New York City housing.
They're not migrants, by the way, but I'm not going to get sidetracked.
And are now being reticketed. So all of these folks already had free housing here in New York, and then they were given eviction notices, essentially 30 or 60 day notices telling them that they have to leave their shelter. But because this is a sanctuary city, housing is guaranteed. So if they wait in line, they can reapply and then be rehoused.
Well, you get what you voted for in New York anyway. Let's talk about why it matters, first and foremost. And this is not a small point. In fact, if I could cite one of the major things that is killing this country, it is a lack of patriotism. And let's discuss that. What is patriotism? Obviously, it's not complicated. It's love of country. Wanting what's best for your country. Feeling a loyalty to your country. Our country's education system, our media, Hollywood, is so rotted and evil that honestly, even in many Republican circles, when people discuss things like that, they kind of roll their eyes or they're dismissive of being patriotic. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about America, ancient Rome, Lakota tribe in Nebraska in the old days, the Aborigines. It doesn't matter what people, what culture, what nation you're talking about. The love and appreciation of that nation is a critical, critical component in that nation remaining a nation. If the scales get too out of balance, meaning your country gets too full of people who have no loyalty to it, then you have already figured out an expiration date. You may not have the exact date, but you're on the downhill swing and it's going to be ugly when it ends. No nation can continue without patriots filling up the inside of its borders. That is not debatable. In fact, one of the most basic things you can do to save America, you know, I always talk about, hey, forget about these federal elections. Well, not forget about them, but we focus too much on them. Legal, local, you know, I talk about all these things. And I talk about running for school board all the time. Run for school board, run for school board. And I realize why people push back on that, because it feels small, doesn't it? Is it, Jesse, how am I going to secure the border from the school board? Jesse, how am I going to solve this $34 trillion national debt from the school board? Jesse, that's too small. Only Trump can save us. Ah! I know it sounds too small, but understand so much of the horrible things we see now, we see these things because they're downstream of an education system that teaches people no loyalty to the country. Why is our media full of evil people who hate the country? Why is our education system full of people like
being
this?
Being a woman of color was not being born a racialized female. Being a woman of color was having a political commitment to learning each other's histories around folks who were also racialized. But it was a political project towards coalition. It wasn't like, oh, I was born this way, therefore I'm a woman of color. And the reduction to biology has been one of the ways in which that project has lost its political radicalness.
Where did that street communist learn to talk like that? She learned to talk like that in school. If that human being, you can hate that commie all you want, that's fine. But if that human being was taught from a very early age about the greatness of her country, what her country, the opportunities her country has provided for her, if that human being had 18, 20 years of education about the glory of America, those words would be as foreign to her as they are to you. That person was taught America hatred. Patriotism is not a small thing. It's not something to scoff at. It's not a ridiculous notion. Oh, here we go, Mr. Freedom. It is the essential element that will keep a nation, whether it's a huge, powerful country like ours or a tiny Indian tribe. You must have it full of people who love it or it's going to end. And that brings us to the real point of illegal immigration. And let me focus on something else here right now. I played it for you before. I'm going to say it again. I know you're going to roll your eyes because I say it so much, but I'm just so focused now, more focused than I've ever been on language. And this is me. I don't even know a lot of words because I'm stupid, but focused on not using the communist language. And I'm sure I do, still do in many ways. I'm sure you do, right? We're conditioned by the society around us. But even from the supposed right-wing news organizations, migrant, 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 migration, migrant, migrant, migrant.
The crisis up to this point has cost $3 billion. And as more people come, the cost continues to go up. The issue for New York is that they're not only dealing with newly arrived migrants, they're dealing with folks that have already been in New York City.
A migrant? You know what a migrant is? In your mind, you know what a migrant is? Just somebody mad. A tsunami hit their little village in Kik-Kik or wherever they're from. And they came across the border they're just migrating. They're just here for some tortillas and then they're going to go back home. They're just migrating here. When you call them criminals, illegals, invaders, those are all not only more accurate terms for what these people actually are, it creates the appropriate image in your head, which will lead you to the correct action. Language leads to mindset. Mindset leads to performance. Please stop calling them migrants, you supposed right-wing news organizations. It drives me up the friggin' wall. Anyway, but back to this. Mayorkas, the big story of the day, an impeachment proceeding is coming for Alejandro Mayorkas. All right. This is kind of what he had to say about it.
I joined the bipartisan group of senators to work on a legislative solution to a broken immigration system. I was on the Hill yesterday to provide technical advice in those ongoing negotiations. Before I headed to...
Whatever. Mayorkas is being impeached. Why is he being impeached? Because he opened up the border on purpose. But let's set that aside. They're not going to end up convicting him anyway. Forget about that. Why did they open up the border on purpose? I get this so much. No matter how many times we go over it, and that's fine. Remember, you can email me. That's fine. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all that's welcome. But I get this all the time. Jesse, I don't understand why. Why open up the border? Why cause these surges? Surge after surge after surge. We're actually experiencing another surge right now as we speak. Jesse, why would they do this? Jesse, I don't understand. Jesse, they have to live here too. Jesse, I don't get it. Jesse, I don't get it. Okay, well, I'm going to explain it in the most basic way I understand it, and hopefully my stupid way of explaining it will help you understand it better the way it helped me. All right? I'll do that next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, doing a little border, illegal immigration talk, or migrants or migration if you're one of these soft low tiers on the right who likes to use the communist language. Don't worry, we're going to get to emails and the Biden stuff and the Biden speech and the debt and all kinds of other stuff. We're talking about illegals right now, though.
Now, let's explain this in a way that helps me understand it. All right. It might not help you, but why? I get this question all the time. Why do they open up the border? Why is it on purpose? And it is on purpose. Look, I'm looking at a headline here from Daily Mail. Border Patrol agent under investigation for kicking migrants out of the U.S. Sorry, it's not my language. It's the crappy Daily Mail. A Border Patrol agent is being investigated for trying to have somebody deported who wasn't a citizen here. Okay, but wait, I have something else for you. I want you to listen to this. There are people who are coming here from Venezuela. The people coming from Venezuela, many of them are fleeing socialism down there. You ever talk to a Cuban? Spent much time in Miami with the Cubans down there? I have. I adore Cubans. I adore Miami. Their coffee is particularly wonderful. They're the most hardcore anti-communist people out there. It was only about a year ago the Biden administration finally found some people they didn't want in the country, people coming from Cuba. Well, they found another group of people they don't want in the country, the people coming from Venezuela. John Kirby was asked about
migration. Is the administration open to extending temporary protective status for Venezuelans who arrived after that July 31st date that you all set?
I don't have an update for you on that. You probably should talk to Secretary Mayorkas and his team at DHS, but that's not something I would have an update for.
The Biden administration has only found two groups of people they don't want coming into the country, and they're the two groups of people who hate communism. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there are investigating Border Patrol agents for having people deported? So let's explain this in a way I think people will understand. You know, we've used the home analogy before when it comes to the communist, when it comes to Democrats. You're not sharing a home with somebody who has a slightly different view of how to improve the home. I want to remodel the kitchen. Hey, we need a double oven in here. We're going to go fancy. One of those two ovens or one of the pizza ovens. Chris, have you ever seen one of the homemade pizza ovens? I've wanted one forever. Like the built-in ones. They probably cost a fortune. I'm never going to get one, but I want one so bad. Anyway, we need a pizza oven in a remodeled kitchen. And the wife says, no. What we need to do is we need a nice back patio. That's how the American Republican, that's how he thinks political debates go. All these Democrats, man, they want to improve the house too, but in a way that's so stupid, it's not as good. That's not what's happening at all. You want to remodel the kitchen and put in that glorious pizza oven. He wants to burn the house down. I can't possibly stress this enough. He wants to burn the house down. He doesn't want to argue with you about the color of the drapes because he wants to set the drapes on fire. He doesn't care about the living room or the patio or the kitchen or anything else. Nothing. He has a can of gas and a box of matches, and he just wants to set the house on fire. All right? So, I want to save the house. My wife wants to burn it to the ground. We live together. It's a very uncomfortable situation. But what would be a good way for her to go about doing that? Well, here would be a good way. Let's say we're hard up for cash. After all, it was just Christmas, and that cost a friggin' fortune. Let's say we're hard up for cash, and we decide we're going to start taking on some roommates in the home. Probably get a little awkward, but we need someone to help cover the mortgage. And we just come to an agreement that, hey, I'll take in some people, whoever I want, and you take in whoever you want. Me, I don't take in very many people.
But anyone I do take in, they kind of express the real loyalty to the home, a love for the home, an appreciation of it. But every time I take one of these people in, I come home and she's taken in another 10 people who just want to raid the pantry and do whatever she asks of them because she lets them raid the pantry. This goes on for a couple months. How long until I will no longer be able to stop her from burning down the home? She's going to have too many reinforcements. This is what I've tried to explain to these loser congressmen and senators who I talk to on the phone by text message when we talk about illegal immigration. I tell them, and this is what I've been telling them recently, and I'm not doing a Debbie Downer thing, right? But I tell them, okay, let's fast forward things. And let's say Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, they win the White House next year, in November. What is it, November 5th? November 5th, they win the White House. Woohoo, we did it. We got it back. Woohoo. Well, in the end, Joe Biden's four-year administration, no matter what, no matter who gets elected into the White House in November, will be a huge success. Biden's administration will be a huge success for the communist who wants to burn the country down. Because no matter who gets elected into the White House in November, they're not going to deport the people who have flooded into this country over the last 3 years, let alone the last 40 years. So Joe Biden's four-year presidency, no ifs, ands, or buts, will have provided Democrats with millions and millions of reinforcements, reinforcements of people who are only loyal to them. They don't even have to stress the 2024 election all that much. Because they opened up the border, every evil plan they have will eventually come to fruition because of what they did on the border. You fill up your country with people who have no loyalty to it, the country will end. I'll continue on this in just a minute. I don't want to do something good. Let's put a smile on your face first. 58,000 people is a lot of people, is it not? That's a lot of people. You know how many people we lost in Vietnam? About 57,000, give or take, depending on how they do the numbers. Did you know that preborns clinics, the clinics that offer free ultrasounds for women about to have an abortion, they saved 58,000 lives last year. You, those donations you sent to preborn, they didn't go to some CEO's pocket, some private jet, some Mai Tai in the Bahamas. They went directly to the pro-life clinics. You spent last year buying ultrasounds for women who are about to abort their babies. And as we speak today, 58,000 souls are walking the planet because of you and preborn. Thank you for what you did. The mission continues. It will not stop. It will never stop. You want to continue on that mission right now? $28 saves a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. $28 saves one of those lives. Preborn.com/Jesse.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We're about to move off this illegal immigration stuff. I just wanted to just tie a little bow on it like we do in Europe, Chris. What? They put bows on stuff. I saw some bows over there, and I almost learned how to tie them, too. You should know. Oh, it should. I also want to. No, it's not that, Chris. That's not
right. Why are you gay?
I also want to point out. I'm embarrassed about what I'm about to say. You know what? We'll come back to that in a minute. I want to finish the illegal immigration talk. I'll finish the illegal immigration talk, then we'll come back to that. I'm really embarrassed about something, and everyone's going to be really mean to me about it. But again, why do they answer questions like this? Why is it almost as if all the people in this administration want everyone to come,
and they want everyone to stay.
We learned just a couple of days ago that there is a backlog of some 3 million cases of asylum seekers who are allowed to come into the United States, remain in the United States while they wait for their trial, which in most cases will be years from now. What do you do about that, number one? And number two, is it a good idea to let the asylum seekers be in the United States while they wait a trial, or should they remain where they are?
So that backlog is a powerful example of how broken.
Listen to him not answer the question.
Broken our immigration system is, and for how long it has been broken. Because that backlog.
Pause here. Sorry. Quick sidetrack. You're going to start to hear this a lot. It's an election year, and you're about to hear. Chris, go ahead and write this down. You're about to hear a lot about America's broken immigration system. This is going to be a term, the system. It's obviously one they've used before. You've heard it before. But you're going to start to hear a steady drumbeat of this more and more. Broken immigration system, broken immigration system, broken immigration system. And there are two reasons for this. Remember, there are two reasons you're going to hear this. One, it is an election year, and the general public, even Norm and Norma, they're upset about illegal immigration. This is now reaching into the heart of areas that are Democrat strongholds. New York, it's a problem for them. So what are they trying to do? Well, they're going to try to act like they're aware of this huge problem. They didn't do it, of course, but there was a problem here. So, hey, did anyone know there's a problem? So that's part of what they're going to try to do. The second part of what they're going to try to do is amnesty. They'll try to get the Republican losers in the House and the Senate, and there's always a bunch of those, to go ahead and compromise. Hey, look, we do have so many illegals here, don't we, guys? And you guys want to secure that border, don't you? Hey, let's just give 20, 30 million of them citizenship so we can sway every national election in our favor from now until the end of time. And we'll give you 20 feet of border wall, which will then block in the courts. Sound good? And Republicans like John Cornyn will be like, oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Can I have another? Thank you. Anyway, I'll let him continue.
Existed when I was in the Department of Homeland Security in 2009. It preceded me then, and it precedes me now in my tenure as the Secretary of Homeland Security. That 3 million case backlog has been building for years and years and years. It got much, much worse when U.S. Citizenship and Immigration System services, the agency within the Department of Homeland Security that administers our legal immigration system.
Yeah, we don't care. Oh, there is. Oh, wait, I found one more group before I move on to my embarrassing thing and maybe get to some emails. I found one more group that the Biden administration. Well, you know how they were cracking down on the Venezuelans and the Cubans because they were escaping communism? Well, there's a group that actually looks like they kind of have a bit of a fast track to get in here, and those would be Chinese illegals. They have watered down, they've essentially greased the skids so that anyone showing up from China gets in a little bit easier. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to my embarrassing story before we do some emails, and then we'll get to this Biden speech coming, this January 6th stuff, dead, all kinds of stuff, but... Okay, so I'm already mad at you because I know you're going to be mean to me about this. I know you are. We went to Europe for Christmas. It's my second time I've ever been, all right? And it was very cool. We did Christmas markets and stuff. That's what we went to go see, all the castles and Christmas markets and celebrate Christmas. And it really was. It was cool. But we did a couple days in Paris. Oh, shut up, Chris. And I liked it. I liked Paris a lot. I'm not supposed to like Paris. And I know I'm not supposed to like France. And I feel dirty and I feel disgusting. I feel like I should have joined the Navy. I don't know what to explain, but I liked it. Chris, the food, man. The food. Oh, they can do a steak over there. I had a veal chop over there that is as good as any veal chop. You don't like veal? Can you people not eat veal? What? You don't like tender, delicious meat? I understand that. You probably prefer it harder. What? Anyway, the veal chop, the cheese, the French onion soup, which I had to learn the hard way. You just have to order it. Onion soup over there. Apparently they leave out the French thing. Dude, they have this thing, was it called, Yes. Escargot, they add that, Chris. I tried that. I got bullied into trying that. Hold on, let me explain. So we went to this Christmas market in Paris. And these Christmas markets, it's just nothing but a bunch of vendors selling little trinkets and food and you know, the Christmas carols. It's really Christmassy. It's wonderful. And I'm sitting there, and I'm ordering this raclette, which I'm going to get to in a moment. I'll get to it in a moment. And dude standing behind me has like a holder, like a little popcorn holder, like you'd get a small popcorn in the movies. That's what he had. Clearly something he got from a vendor. Only there were these big round things. And I was just making conversation. He was looking up at me. I got gawked at because of how tall I am the whole time. He's just making conversation. I'm like, hey, man, those look great. What are those? And of course, my boys are all, Dad, please don't. So I talked to everyone about their food. And he said, ah, they're snails. You want one? And by that point in time, you're bullied, right? I can't look like a woman. I'm not going to look like a big wuss. And so you can't tiptoe into that either. You have to act like you're excited. And I did. I went all in my, oh, yeah, my favorite. Sure, grab. And I grabbed one. And I didn't have anything. I didn't have a water on me or anything. I just popped the whole thing in my mouth because he's watching me. And I just start chewing. And I'm all, oh, man, that is dynamite. Thank you. Good call. So that wasn't good. And then the second he turned around, I spit it out on the side. Oh, anyway. So we walk up to this place. This is the last thing I'm going to say. This is why I love Paris. They have all these, you know, these big wheels of cheese. You've seen them, right? Okay. Well, slice one in half. All right. So you got half a pie of cheese. They have the half pies sitting up there. They have a heater pressed on essentially the part that you've sliced. They grab a big French baguette bun thing that was kind of chewy, and they'll put the meat of your choosing in there. You can have any meat you want. We put, was it salami? I think it was salami in there. Just put some salami in there. And then they just take this scraper and they walk over and they move the heater and they start scraping gobs of this melted cheese down onto the baguette sandwich. I'm almost positive they called this cheese raclette. Or the sandwich was raclette. I don't know. I only speak American. All right. I don't know. What I do know is this. Veal chop. We had some good pastries over there. That raclette. It's one of the top five things I've ever eaten in my entire life. No, Chris, it was. You're just jealous because you can't even eat it. You can't eat salami. And you, even if it was beef, you couldn't eat it because of the cheese. What I'm seeing now is jealousy from you, Chris. You know what? Envy's an ugly, ugly disease, my friend. It is a stinky cologne. I suggest you go home and wash that off, right? All right. You want to talk about the debt next? You want to talk about the January 6th stuff? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll deal with the debt once I tackle a couple of these emails. Don't forget, you can email me. Love, hate, death threats, whatever you want. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. No, Chris, we're going to have this out right here on the air. Right here on the air. I have to tell, before I get to the national debt stuff and the emails. So you know I left. I went on vacation. Well, while I left, Jewish producer Chris and producer Michael were still here working, as it should be. Anyway, there was a table here in the studio. I just want to try to explain what you're not seeing in the studio, even if you're watching. You know, you can watch the show on simulcast. You can watch me do the radio on the first TV, thefirsttv.com. Is it / simulcast? Michael, is it / simulcast? Is that how you get to it? It'll be in the podcast description. He doesn't know or what? What's he doing over there? Oh, gosh. They apparently changed some stuff. Whatever. Anyway, let me explain what you're not seeing. There's a big table in front of me, and I mean huge, at least for a studio. I would say this is 5x4, roughly. Chris, is that about right? About 5x4? A big table, 5 feet by 4 feet. I do TV on one side, and then I switch sides. I do radio. And then we had a little table in here, and on the little table was a bunch of little stuff. No, Chris, don't interrupt yet. And I need to be clear. There was a bunch of stuff on the table. It was Kleenex, scissors, scotch tape, eye drops, cough drops, you know, whatever. But there was a bunch of stuff on the table. I get back and they've completely reorganized the studio and they took the table away, and all the stuff that was on the table, it didn't disappear. It is now piled and cluttered onto the big table where I have everything else now. So I've got zip ties. I've got everything else. And I just asked Chris during the break, where'd the table go? He's like, oh, we didn't need it. In what world do we not need it? The stuff moved from that table to this table. Oh, gosh. You know what? Never mind, Chris. We're getting to some emails. Remember, you miss it. If you miss any minute of the show, iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes, that's where you can get a podcast of the show. Hey, Jesse, on your show from yesterday, you touched on the importance of language using the word migrants as an example. Every conservative pundit should be pressed to consciously identify language that is of a liberal construction. A prime example is completely liberal manufactured term assault weapons. The more correct term is defensive weapons needs to be used by conservatives. When liberals push for assault weapons, it is criminal, so on and so forth. Thanks, Jesse. I look forward to your show and get really bummed when you're on vacation, even though I know you need and deserve them. You're the closest thing to Rush out there. I appreciate you very much. He didn't say I could say his name. Okay, yes, one, assault weapons. Again, migrants for them, for the people they love, because it makes a softer image in your mind. Oh, they're just migrants. They're not illegal. They're not invading. They're migrants. They're migrating. But the harshest possible terms always for you. You're a Nazi. You're a white supremacist. You're a MAGA extremist. And the hardest possible things for anything you love, like weapons, firearms, assault weapons. That sounds awfully scary, doesn't it? It's an assault weapon. And you said we should correct the term and say defensive weapons. I will maybe push back on that a little, not a bunch. I don't hate your term, but here's what I don't like about the right. For so many years, the communist has moved the Overton window in their direction when it comes to guns, that now when the right tries to defend themselves about guns, they sound very, very, very defensive and almost a little bit unsure of themselves. For instance, Democrats love to say, they love to say, oh, well, if you got a, I'm sure you have a cut of this summer of, why would you need a gun that shoots 30 bullets? They love saying stupid things like, it's got a 30 round clip. What do you think? You need that to hunt deer? Joe Biden loves that line. What? You need that to hunt deer? And then the right will try to come up with some lame explanation for it when that shouldn't be the explanation you use at all, because that explanation doesn't shift the Overton window back our way. You know, our goal is not to just stop the shift to the left. Our goal as anti-communists has to be to shift it to the right. Did you find a clip of that, Chris? It doesn't matter. Don't forget about it. We want to shift it back to the right. When people say that to me, Jesse, what do you need a gun with 30? They never use a magazine, you know, rounds. It's always, why do you need a clip with 30 bullets in it? I always say, in case I have to fight the government. What do you think? That's radical? Read the Federalist Papers. Read the founding documents. That's why you're supposed to have guns. It's not to hunt deer. It's not even to stop a robber. That's a nice side benefit. The American people are supposed to have guns in case the government becomes tyrannical and they have to fight that government. That's why the Second Amendment exists. But you can't find an elected Republican in this nation, at least at the national level. I'm sure there are some local guys, sheriffs and otherwise. You can't find an elected Republican in the House, Senate, any of the guys running for president. You can't find one of them who will speak about it in those terms. But one, when you speak about it in those terms, it shifts the Overton window back your way. Two, it's true. You have the benefit of it being 100% true. I don't like how either side talks about it. I understand why the communist uses his language, assault weapons. But I'm not insulting you for the email. I actually support the term. If you want to go with defensive weapons, that's fine. My weapons aren't defensive. Every gun I have is designed to kill. Everyone. Guns kill people. Yeah, I got it. Ironically, the communist describes my view on guns better than the right does. But that thing's made to kill a lot of people. I know. What if there's a lot of people after me? I needed something that'll kill a lot of people. But that'll make a mess of somebody at close range. Yeah, I've been wanting to repaint the walls. Come on in. We'll do that. Oh, but that gun can kill somebody at 1,000 yards. Good. I'd like to kill him before he can kill me. That sounds good. Yes, good. We have got to start adjusting how we talk about everything because we've been conditioned. I have too, remember. I'm talking about me too. Because we live in this society, we've been conditioned to speak about things in ways that will make them as comfortable as humanly possible when you can't possibly shift the Overton window that way. In fact, unless we make them uncomfortable, the window will never shift. That's a fact. Let's talk about the national debt next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.